I will try. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Could you please all rise and face the flag and follow after me when I recite the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I would like to recognize Dr. Revelis, our county superintendent. Thank you for attending today, Dr. Revelis. Next, we have the public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are required to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask they be heard during the specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2A states that no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. Okay, looks as though we have a number of public comment cards. Just a note of process, what we're going to do, Dr. Starkey has given me a number of cards, and as we had mentioned, it is limited to 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time on the topic. So I would try to say, let's say if there's a number of folks that are leading towards a comment in one direction, maybe there can be a spokesperson for you and your comments with regards to that. I would like to stress that at the end of 3 minutes, I am going to ask that you quit talking. We're going to turn the recording off. And then at the end of our 20 minutes, again, the topic is going to be ended. So just want to make sure we got the ground rules set before we start. And again, I would apologize if we run out of time with regards to the amount of cards that we have. We do have another regular scheduled meeting on March 12th, next Tuesday. So if by chance you're didn't have the opportunity to speak today, you certainly could come back on March 12th and speak during that comment period also. Okay? Are we fair with the rules?
And there is the timer, the clock.
Oh, right. We have a little clock so you can make sure where you're at, okay? When you do, for the record, I would like to state that all the board members are present. And when you do come to the microphone, if you would please state your name for the record. So the first comment card we have is Cindy Harrow. Cindy?
Hi, my name's Cindy Harrow, and I've been teaching at Oliver for 12 years, and I did my long-term subbing and student teaching there. I've taught with some great teachers, and some have left for many reasons. We've had new administrators and numerous teachers, and I've stayed at Oliver because I love the families that make up our school. I also love the direction our school is heading. It is important to work together to provide the best educational experience for our students. And I teach because I hope to instill a love of learning and for students to be good citizens. I encourage my students to be respectful of their peers, even when they don't see eye to eye. And I feel that I've been naive to think that the staff at Oliver has been working toward the common goal of making students our priority. Some people have been unhappy with our principal and some of us have no idea why. I feel that we should have been informed by those people and that all of our opinions should have been presented to the district so that we could be part of the solution. Also, we have been changing our school culture and it is moving in a more positive direction. Putting another administrator in charge next year will set us back again. And I fear that people that are unhappy will not be happy with the next administrator. We cannot change our school if we continue to change administrators and not ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next card that we have for our speaker is Dan Pingle.
Okay, my name, is Dan Pingle, teacher at Oliver School. I do not like standing here. I would sooner be anywhere else. Last Friday, administration at Oliver School announced that they had been non-elected. When several staff members asked what they could do, they were told it was their school and had a voice. Using that information, certain staff went on school dojo. With an urgent concern, our administrators have been non-reelected. If you are able to help Oliver School by showing support, the board will have a meeting on Monday, March 4th. The more people that show up, the better. Meeting at 3:30, et cetera. Another email just went out from the school saying that Class Dojo, and I'm not even sure what that is, Class Dojo could be one avenue. However, I also think we should be in front of the school before and after, greeting parents, informing them of the situation, letting them know what they can do to affect the change that would be seen. Maybe somebody could put together an information flyer. I'm really bad at designing flyers. School boards and districts respond to pressure in numbers. Let's make some waves. Monday morning, several teachers are standing out in front of Oliver School as the parents enter the school, telling them the tragic news and wanting them to sign up some type of petition. My question is, should school dojo be used in such a manner? My question is, do we want a full-scale war at Oliver School? Does the opposite side that is in favor of the decision the board made, should they get on dojo and start raising cane because the other people are, or should we be human about this thing and not do it? The other side is, should tomorrow morning I be standing out in front of the school and telling the parents, hey, I think the guy should go? That's my question right there. We got a battle at Oliver School and it's got to be taken care of. I'm asking someone to make a decision on this. If it's legal for one group to be out there, then it's legal for another. I think it's insane for either one of them to be out there. Someone has to put a stop to this insanity. I do not like this happening. Parents and children are drawn into this battle. They have enough chaos in their life, I am sure. I'm working under a belief that Maryville Joint Unified School District Personnel Department and Board of Trustees made a decision what they thought was best for the community, our school, and our children, and I stand by that decision. I have no idea what the facts are in that. The board, people are fired and hired and fired every day, but if the board made that decision, I stand with it. As far as I'm concerned, the board has a right to hire and fire at will. I just ask our administrators, either tell the staff, I'm going to fight this thing outright with the board, or tell us that, no, we're going to walk out of here peacefully. Don't destroy our school.
Thank you, Mr. Pingle. Next, we have Aaron Villagomez.
My name is Erin Villagomez, and this is my third year teaching at Oliverst Elementary School. I come from 13 years of teaching experience in several different school districts. During my first week at Oliverst, I was asked by our then MUTA site rep if I would like to take over her position. She knew I was active in the union membership with my previous district. I waited until I received tenure to do just that. During those 2 years, I participated in the time-intensive observation and evaluation process of MJUSD, first with Mrs. Castaneda, our former principal, and then with Mr. Sullivan. I had a very positive working relationship with Mrs. Castaneda and worked closely with her on the leadership team. I believe that she had a good vision for Oliverst. Unfortunately, some staff members had conflicts with her, and she resigned in March, leaving our school in a state of uncertainty. I developed a positive working relationship with Mr. Sullivan through year two of my observation and evaluation process. He was approachable, easy to talk to, and was a good coach for me, a seasoned teacher. He posed questions for me to explore and strategies to consider that would support his vision for the school. I welcomed the challenge and have become a better teacher because of it. As my third year at Oliver's began, we were without a MUTA site rep. I stepped up to be our school's new rep. I was aware of some of the tensions between staff members and Mr. Sullivan. They seemed to be largely concerning non-reelect or transferred teachers from the previous school year. Having a passion for supporting teachers, as well as having excellent lines of communication with our administration, I was excited to get to work in a position where I could serve as a communication liaison. At our first site MUTA meeting in October, a few teachers expressed concern regarding conference days. I met with Mr. Sullivan the next day, and we were able to work out an arrangement that worked for all parties involved. It is my philosophy that the teachers' union, the school district, and the school board are all a team working together to create the best learning environment for our students. This was the only time that a concern regarding our site administration was brought to my attention. Imagine my shock when Mr. Sullivan and Ms. Buddha called an emergency staff meeting on Friday afternoon to inform us of the board's intention to non-reelect both of them. Mr. Sullivan has worked collaboratively and openly with staff for 2 years. His vision for Oliver's is excellent, and we are just beginning to see some of this vision produce academic results. Mrs. Buddha has worked tirelessly from day one at Oliver's to implement PBIS practices to the fullest. Her support of our students and their families is strategic, passionate, and producing results. The vision is strong and the plan is beginning to take hold. A change in administrative staff would put us back at square one, trying once again to determine the vision of Oliver's and the plan to get there. I strongly urge the board to reconsider their decision to non-reelect Mr. Sullivan as principal and Ms. Buddha as vice principal of Oliver's Elementary School. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Villa-Gomez. Our next speaker is Jolynn Kehoff. Sorry for not pronouncing that right.
Hi, my name is Jolynn Keough, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. I'm just here today to give you a balanced viewpoint. I understand that some of my colleagues have reported problems with Mr. Sullivan and the administration, and I was not aware of that, and so I just feel it's my duty to come and present a balanced viewpoint so that you know that other staff who are there have had a positive working relationship. Last year in the spring, I had some really serious medical issues with my daughter, and I had to leave school suddenly, even on a training day, and he was very supportive of me and has continued to encourage me and just help me grow as a person, not only recognizing me as an employee, but as a person, and I appreciated that support. Also, I've wanted to develop my classroom in some new and exciting ways, and he's been fully behind that and has allowed me to really grow. I think Mr. Rasmus and I talked your ear off at our open house about all the exciting things I've been doing in my classroom. So it was very disheartening for me. And I'm not here actually asking you to change your perspective or your decision, but I'm asking you to really consider how much it affects our school. As you heard, I so respect Mr. Pingle, and it's heartbreaking for all of us at school to think that now we have to start. And my biggest fear is that the problem is not with the administrators, but the problem is with us. And that is my fear, is that can we come together on anything? And if anything, I think we need your help at this point because it's going to be difficult either way. So, but thank you for your time. And we are not at our school the way things are now. Is it perfect? No, it's not. We are not there yet. But yet is a very hopeful word, and that's the word I would like all of my colleagues to focus on. We're not there yet, but let's work on moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next public comment card is Emily Staving.
Hello, my name is Emily Staving, formerly Emily Prather. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Randy Rasmussen for giving us this opportunity when I reached out on Friday. I know that ideally we could have waited until Tuesday. I'm here today in response to the information that I received on Friday, March 1st. I was notified by Mr. Sullivan and Mrs. Buddha that they would not be part of Oliver's Elementary School next year. I was told it was a board decision and not their own. I urge you to reconsider your intent to non-reelect them. I feel that my voice hasn't been heard, and this decision is being made for our staff based on limited information. Before I get into the reasons for my stance, I want to give you all some background about me. I have been a citizen of Oliver's, California my entire life. I attended school at MJUSD my entire childhood. I still live in Oliver's, California, and this is where I am raising my two sons. I attended Oliver's Elementary for preschool, and the rest of my elementary years were at Johnson Park. I absolutely love teaching in my own community, and I plan to teach there for the duration of my career. However, if the decision to non-reelect Mr. Sullivan is not reconsidered, I will have to strongly consider leaving not only the school, but also the district. I fear that this will happen again with the future principals due to the fact that it's happened two times in three out of my 4 years there. Our students deserve committed, consistent staff that work together to do what's best for them. I feel Mr. Sullivan is the right administrator for Oliver's Elementary, especially after researching what qualities are thought of to be necessary for school leaders. Visionary, must have a clear vision and a plan. Rich realizes that education is ever evolving and constantly adjusts the plan to take our students to the next level. He has been very growth focused. We are going to begin doing an NWEA map assessment next year, and we also have the Scholastic Book Room that provides a lot of resources for that. I think that he also does a good job of setting high expectations for everyone, including teachers, students, staff, and himself. I think he's in exactly this, and that may be an area that causes some of the discontent. Another characteristic that I read about was discreet, which is careful and circumspect in one's speech and actions. Due to this, you are publicly hearing from me for the first time. I was unaware at the extensiveness of complaints. They didn't come to light until Friday. I didn't realize my input was necessary, but now it is clear that my silence was perceived as agreement. I know that there are others that agree with me, but stay silent and fear of retaliation. Staff members have reached out to me, and here is a direct quote from a staff member. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication. Thank you for being strong enough to be our voice. There are many that agree with you, but are scared for their jobs because the future is unpredictable. If we keep it positive, I believe the support will be strong. Thanks again. Thank you for taking the time to hear from me.
Thank you. Our next public comment card is Jamie Wien. And again, I apologize for not pronouncing it correctly.
Hi. Good afternoon. I wanted to take a moment and introduce myself. I'm Jamie Wien, and I did reach out to every one of the board members and Mr. Carrion and Dr. Starkey on several occasions. I've been a special ed teacher for the past 13 years, and including one with an admin experience. My ultimate goal was to stay with MJUSD until retirement and advance in my career here in the district. I wanted to give back to the community, and I wanted to support the students and parents of MJUSD. Unfortunately, my career here ended abruptly, and I had no other choice but to put in an early resignation when I found an admin job. Since the end of last year, Mr. Sullivan has made a 100% change towards the Learning Center team that I was a close part of. Exactly what Edna Manick described last year and predicted for the school year this year has almost been chilling to see come into fruition. When Rich has a group of teachers who agrees with him, he's a master at manipulation and making them think he's there for true care of students. However, once you oppose something he says, you become a target and see him in action for his true self. We quickly saw Jody for who she really is this school year as well. They started harassing and bullying us at the very beginning of the school year. I had a wonderful working relationship with my Learning Center team, students, and parents, and will always advocate for what's best for students, no matter what the opposing opinion is. No matter how hard Rich and Jody tried to break our teaching team of me and Melissa and Dan apart and lied about us separately to try to turn us against each other, he couldn't break the solid working bond that we had because we always collaborated and spoke together. Rich used me as a pawn last year, and he would speak freely about the non-reelection of a lot of the staff members that he did let go, two probationary and one temporary teacher. He would speak freely in the Learning Center and come through and spend half an hour at a time. Excuse me, I'm a little emotional about this still. One of the biggest turns that we saw with Rich is when we spoke out for children. We didn't receive curriculum for our kids in the Learning Center until November of this year, and that's because we have an amazing special ed director who was making sure to advocate that for us. He kept directing us to online programs and telling us to borrow curriculum from general education teachers. So I'm here to speak out. Rich doesn't like when we had concerns about student safety, bullying, and other and under supervision on campus. We have proof of his and Jody's numerous fabrications and cover-ups in the mounds of emails we have gathered. I honestly don't know how administrators have that much time in the day to spend to torment teachers that are there for the right reason. Rich went as far as telling the substitute teacher who's sitting in my seat that she looks good in that chair and that she would be the teacher in that classroom next year. So that's where that is right now, and now they have a very close relationship. Jody's verbally attacked me on more than one occasion, once in a staff meeting and once in front of the bus driver. For the sake of the students, please do not consider keeping them. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Our next public comment card is Garciela Zamorano. Okay, thank you.
And, go ahead. Good afternoon. My name is Graciela Zambrano. I know Mr. Fleury because I worked with him before. And anyways, the reason I am here is because for the past 4 years, I've been involved with the school district. I represent ELAC, TLAC, LCAP, and site council. I love working with the school district. However, when I started work to join the school program activities or the clubs, it was because of Leticia Castaneda. She didn't even stay 6 months with us when she was terminated. Our ELAC parents were devastated, as I was as well. And so we were very concerned that we weren't going to have a principal to support us. Mr. Sullivan came, and he's been very supportive. And as some people have expressed, I can assure you that because of his plan and the support of the teachers, stability was established at Oliver School. Kids need stability, as parents do too. But the way that the hiring is going at Oliver School, it creates instability. It's really making me think that I should take my grandchild and just take her to another school that has stability. To the parents, it seems like a group of teachers get together, and if those teachers don't approve the leadership style that they want, then they will do everything and anything to get rid of that person. That is not acceptable. This is what's happening to Mr. Sullivan. I kept asking him for the last year, since he got there every week or so, how are you doing? How are things? Oh, everything is going fine. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what happened to Leticia better not happen to him. It apparently is happening to him. So, if he is gone, our kids are going to go back again to the instability. Parents have to find, get adjusted, create a relationship, working relationship with the principal. And it's not fair. It's just not fair for the students, not fair for the parents. And I know that this kind of hiring is going to continue as long as all of you allow it. It needs to stop. He is the right person for this position. If the teachers or a group, because I know it's a group of teachers, are not satisfied, maybe they need to move on to a school where they're best fitting, where they fit best. But Mr. Sullivan is the right person for this school. We have seen the changes. We have seen the stability in the kids. Some of our reports, as you have already seen them, there have been improvements in school. Other areas, we still need to concentrate on how to improve them. So I am here on behalf of the ELAC parents to please rescind your decision to not renew his contract. Otherwise, parents are going to start taking their kids out of school.
Thank you very much. So, so that actually concludes our 20 minutes for this particular session. I do have four other public comment.
Two for Oliver and two for Johnson.
Oh. So I have four total public comment cards, and what we're going to do is to actually keep these public comment cards, and you would be able to speak first at our next regularly scheduled board meeting. Oh, thank you, Mr. Boone.
Separate issue.
Yeah, you can let him speak.
Oh, thank you for the correction. So we have a couple of public comment cards. So it's 20 minutes per topic item. And I guess our first topic item was Oliver School. Our second topic item looks as though it to be Johnson Park. So we will again start our 20-minute time frame with regards to Johnson Park. Thank you very much. So it looks, let's see, the next comment card looks like it's two folks, Jesus Rivera, and I'm sorry for the pronunciation. We'll wait till you come up and talk. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeevan Gag. I've taught for 13 years, and this is my fourth year at Johnson Park. And we want you to note that our appearance is a collective. Amongst us teachers, and no one has asked us to speak here today. We are here united together for one cause today, and that is to convince you all to keep the principal we respect and admire at Johnson Park Elementary. For the past 2 years, we have been fortunate to have John Kovach as our principal. In the almost 2 years that he has been our leader, we have seen such a positive difference at Johnson Park. Mr. Kovach has done various things to promote positivity at Johnson Park. He has brought PBIS back into our school with the use of positive common language, fun PTC events, and other school-wide events. We have had various movie nights, a spaghetti dinner, a color fun run partnered with Lyndhurst High School, staff and student kickball, and other exciting events for students and families that help promote positivity between students, staff, and families. Mr. Kovach encourages the use of strong professional learning communities and oversees them as needed. Through implementing the use of these PLCs, we have seen a high amount of student academic growth. Mr. Kovach allows us the freedom to choose how we run these PLCs, intervening when he sees a potential issue. He is always helpful in this truly important process, which has shown consistent student growth this year. Not only is Mr. Kovach supportive in the use of strong PLCs, he is also highly involved in collaborative student discipline. We know we can go to him for advice and support when we have a particular difficult day with a student. He never intentionally undermines decisions we make as teachers, and as teachers, we appreciate that our principal carries himself in such a professional and kind way. Though we don't always agree with every single decision he makes, he almost always makes decisions with staff input in mind. Mr. Kovach is always our leader, but it feels like more of a democratic school where the thoughts and consideration of each teacher comes to mind before he makes decisions that affect us and our students. He consistently provides constructive feedback, and for that we are thankful. We are better teachers because of it.
Thank you. So we have two speakers on that card. Is that what we're?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go ahead and reset the clock to 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Jesus Rivas, and I have been a classroom teacher for 17 years. 13 of those years I've been at Johnson Park, and this is a written statement in continuation of Mr. Gag's statement. The main thing it all comes down to is this. Mr. Kovach is 100% for the students at Johnson Park. Every decision he makes is for the benefit of the students at our school. He is consistently trying to find new and innovative ways for students to grow academically, for students to develop their character, and for students to become kind and contributing members of our community with choices for their future, with choices and options for their future. When we heard that Mr. Kovach was not asked to return as our principal next year, it came as a complete shock to us. Not one of us saw this coming because we were so excited about the wonderful job Mr. Kovach has been doing at our school. This is why we stand here before you, united, to speak on behalf of our school, asking you to reconsider the decision that has been made to non-reelect John Kovach. We have had too many replacements over the years, which greatly hinder student achievement and teacher retention. We don't want to lose the kind, caring, and approachable man who cares so much for the students at Johnson Park Elementary School. We can't afford to lose a man of his integrity as principal of our school. Thank you for your time and consideration of our comments today.
Thank you very much. So it looks like our next comment card is Margie. Margie, I don't have a, hopefully it's Margie.
I think so.
Okay. I don't have a clue on your last name. I'm sorry.
Emma.
Okay. Thank you.
Couldn't pronounce it.
My name is Margie Evangelista. Okay, and I'm here in behalf of the principal that has been nothing but positive. As a parent, I'm on the school site council, but as a parent, there has been so many changes. Speaking about, you know, the problems we had before and after we got this principal that we didn't know we were going to get, you know, it has been nothing but positive. You know, I've gone into his office. I've told him exactly what I feel, you know, and we've talked it out. And I think that's what's important, is making sure that he listens to people. You know, he listens to the teachers. They make plans on what's going to happen in the school, and they're all positive because they're all working for the kids. Every single teacher in that school, I mentioned this last week, that they're tens to me because they work for the kids, and that's what it's all about. You know, he's been very positive, and he works with the teachers. You know, so I see a lot of that going on. I didn't see it before. And, you know, I just want you to reconsider, you know, what's happened to him. And I just want you to know that every teacher, like I said, and I mentioned, and I'll always keep saying that they are the best teachers in our school. I know there's a lot of good teachers. I'm not trying to talk down to any other teacher, but I know what we have in our school because of the involvement that I have in the school and the communications that, you know, we all have. You know, I'm able to go in and talk to the teachers and talk to the principal, and that's what I want to do. I would hate to come back to what it was before, to where we didn't know what principal we were going to get or anything like that. I'm not saying they're all bad, but you know what? We need to keep what we have now and continue, because as long as it's positive, that's all I care about, because I know it's making a difference with the kids, and all the teachers make a difference with the kids. So I have no question at all to sit here and say that, you know, I would hope you do reconsider that. And like I say, every teacher that we have there, I have no issues with them. I mean, I'm able to do, you know, talk to them, and it's always positive. And I've been involved with the school district, you know, ever since my girls were young, my grandkids. So I know exactly what I could see. If I see something positive, I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to continue. You know, and it's not just for my kids. It's for all the kids, and that's what we're here for. Every person, every teacher, and the principal, and the, you know, staff, they're all for the kids, and that's what's important to me. Thank you for listening to me.
Ma'am, just
thank
a
you.
Point.
Thank you very much.
Point of clarification is all through the chair. Ma'am, you're a parent and not an employee. You're a member
parent,
of the site council?
I'm a parent, grandparent on the school site council, yes.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank
yes.
you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. So from what I tried to do last time, then it looks as though we had two cards that did not get to speak tonight on the, looks like the Oliver's topic. So we will hold those cards, and those would be the first two that would be able to speak at our next Tuesday meeting if they wish to do so. I just want to say thank you all for coming out, and thank you for being very respectful of our process, of being able to be mindful of our time limits, because that is something that's very important to us. So thank you very much again for attending today. So you can go ahead and stay if you wish. We're going to move on to the next item on the agenda.
Oh, stay, you guys.
Again, thank you very much. So our next item on the agenda for the Board of Trustees, number one, the superintendent selection process and options. The board will discuss the process of selecting a replacement superintendent for the district in light of the recent retirement announcement by Superintendent Gay Starkey, effective June 30, 2019. So we're opening the discussion.
Well, this afternoon, the main purpose of our meeting and the only agenda item is to talk about the process that you will be undertaking to find someone to occupy the superintendent's chair upon my leaving. You do have several choices, and so the board will need to give direction to me and my staff as to how you would like to proceed. You are always welcome to appoint. If you have someone within our ranks that you feel is ready for this position and you choose to move forward quickly, that would be an appointment. You could do a limited search, which would be looking in our local area. You could post it and look within the Yuba-Sutter area. And then you could also do a statewide search. And that's typically what we do for our CBOs, although our chief business official is a more difficult spot typically to fill than superintendent. Not that it's any more important, because it's an assistant superintendent. That is the process by which we've taken. And I've asked Romero Carrion, our assistant suit for personnel, to talk to a couple of those firms to be able to give you an idea of the cost and the process that would ensue if you chose the last option.
Ultimately, as Dr. Starkey indicated, the search can encompass however wide or large net that you want to cast. Certainly, there are national search firms, and these firms that we reached out to do conduct business beyond California. And pardon the expression, but the headhunters that are interested are going to be effective to varying degrees, as you can imagine. We did put out feelers to six of what we feel are the strongest, more effective companies that are thoroughly searching and vetting out all applicants. I got responses from four, I got proposals from three, and ultimately awaiting the others because they said that they would respond as well. But to that end, I have formal RFPs and RFQs from groups including the CSBA, which partners with McPherson, and a RFQ from the Costco Group and the Leadership Associates. All of them provide the casting of a net through a process of stages and steps. Some are five steps, some are nine. But ultimately, the idea is to vet out all applicants as thoroughly as possible with as much involvement as you would like it to be. Involvement from, of course, in-district stakeholders, and ultimately to vet out the characteristics and the qualities of the applicants that you're looking for. The price also varies based on how wide of a net. We have RFQs here from ranging in dollar values from just under $18,000 up to $25,000, expecting the others to come in around $30,000 as well. There are bells and whistles that go beyond these that are add-ons, a lot like a car. As you want extras, they will charge for extras. But certainly from the standpoint of trying to determine which of the search firms are effective and thorough, I think we've narrowed it down to at least the three that we have today and the two that we expect coming in within the next couple of days. I will, in a moment, give this information out to you, and then it's a lot to consume and it's a lot to digest on the dais for now, but certainly from the standpoint of initiating discussion, it will give you information that ultimately can lead to a prospective decision, whether it's today or down the road, in order to ensure that all of your questions have been answered.
So, Mr. Carrion, in these documents, is it going to explain exactly what these companies are going to do? Are they going to come in and help write questions for the application? Are they going to assist in what do they actually do?
Absolutely. Despite the fact that some of the companies, the search firms, may consolidate their processes in 5 steps or 9 steps, it's their attempt to ensure that every step will be orchestrated by a search firm supervisor, if you will, somebody that will direct the process. Everything from interviewing you to determine the characteristics that you want in the next district leader, and ultimately to the final step of ensuring that the person is onboarded and ensuring that the reference check, background check, is conducted by the person that's been assigned to the search. And so it's very thorough. All the steps are lined out in addition to their participation through the interview process. The interview process for most of these, if not all, is typically a 3-step process. And so there are various rounds, depending on the number of candidates, that advance to the next round. And again, they are dictating and orchestrating each step of the search.
So just for my clarification, Dr. Starkey, when you first started the conversation, there was 3 possible situations. The first one was to appoint a superintendent, so...
And that was very successful, I might admit, the last time you did that. I stayed 14 years. You kept me 14 years.
So I guess that answered the question. The board itself can say, we want to have Susan Smith be our superintendent.
Absolutely.
And vote on it and say, okay.
Yes.
And then secondly, we had a limited search. And I assume that a limited search would be within district and in our neighboring districts?
Surrounding districts.
Okay.
You can cast the net as far as you want. Depends on the candidates that you receive as to whether you think that was a thorough enough outreach. And then the statewide going through a company that does this for their living. It's a very thorough step-by-step. They will orchestrate all of the pieces and bring them to you. The board would sit at that interview with questions they've helped to formulate, and then you would interview the candidates and make your determination at that point. You may want a second round of interviews. It's very similar to the process we've done, as I said, for our CBO. And then you'll make your decision and the board will vote.
Is there this is probably not a fair question, but a timeline if we went out to this statewide search, does that normally take a month, 2 months?
It's really predicated on the interests of the board. Ultimately, how quickly the expedition of the process is determined by your collective decision. That'll be one of the questions that a search firm conductor director will ask you, is ultimately how wide you want to cast that net, as Dr. Starkey intimated. If you want a national search, or if you want it within California, or you want it in our neighboring tri-county, within the tri-county area, whatever the case may be, that will determine the amount of time you want it posted, and ultimately the various incremental steps that happen beyond that. If you want to set your timeline, then obviously that conductor, that director, will work within that end date to determine that the various steps are in place in a way that the process is fulfilled to your liking.
And I think you said there's a range. We're looking at 18,000 to maybe 30,000 you were projecting for them, those other firms.
Correct.
Coming in.
And that, is, again, excludes any of the add-ons. The bells and whistles, the undercoating, the...
And then the limited search, we would just post something on our website?
A limited search could involve a general posting similar to other administrative positions that we've attempted to fill in the district through the use of EdJoin, through the use of AXA. through the use of other portals and websites that are a clearinghouse for applications.
And sorry for monopolizing, but so if we did a statewide search, that doesn't eliminate folks from in-house for applying, right?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that, you know, our next step needs to be as a board, a consensus of the board. Where do we want to go? Do we want to go local? Do we want to appoint? Do we want to go, you know, a wider search? So, you know, board members need to think about that unless you already know. I mean, I know where I'm leaning already. To me, I want to stay local. I've seen what's happened going out before, and it hasn't worked real well. You know, Dr. Starkey's leaving. Mr. Hodson's going to retire also, I believe, you know, at some point in time. And then, you know, we're down to one person left on a three-person cabinet. You know, it just kind of keeps some kind of cohesiveness to the district. But so that's kind of where I'm leaning. I would like to see this stay more local. But, you know, we've got to get a consensus as a board fairly quickly, in my opinion, and then move on throughout the process. Because, as we know, in these processes, as they start playing out, there's fewer and fewer candidates.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, I would work along with Mr. Boom's thinking in my close to 46 years with the school district. I've seen both sides of it. I've seen the national search. I've seen the state search. And I've also seen us open up in-house, and I also seen us promote. I would like to, at the beginning at least, open up immediately to in-house to see the interest, the prospective interest in anyone within the school district that has the qualifications and has a desire. And if the board felt we found it there, we would obviously save the $30,000 expenditure by going statewide. I know there is pros to going statewide, but just as a reflection, we were fortunate enough to get Mrs. Starkey, Dr. Starkey, 14 years ago, and I think that really turned around the school district at that time, and she actually replaced someone that we had garnished through a statewide or nationwide search. So just on the historical perspective, which I always like to lean back on, we seem to have a lot more success when we have stayed in-house, with few exceptions, and I would like to see that open up immediately, only because we are on a time frame. If we're going to replace another high-ranking official, we would like the new separate superintendent on board to get their own person. That's just my opinion, though. Thank you.
I would like to think, or at least say that I would hope that we're not going to look to try to make a decision today. I would like to see us be able to take some information, and I'm not sure how we would agendize it for our next. I would think by next Tuesday we should be able to come to a consensus of what we would want to do. However we would need to agendize that topic, and kind of leading, you know, with Mr. Boom and Mr. Crawford, I would hope that's one of the things within our district that we certainly strive to do, and I think we could do a better job is building our administrators within our district, because again, I think it is a known commodity, and I think we need to try to do that more, even from the teacher, vice principal, principal settings to start building within our own district to provide those positions. Do we have any other comments from board members or Mr. Fleury?
I just want to make sure we get the very best one that we put out, at least a limited search in the area for people, not just within the district, but within the area, and then the cream of the crop will rise to the top. Historically, I've been through every superintendent this district's had since unification and before. We've gone outside and then we've gone inside. but we always need to look for somebody that's going to have a vision, fresh ideas, and bring this district forward, because we're living in tough times. We've got to make sure that we get someone that's going to find out what people, our community thinks, our employees think that they want to see in the next leader. So I want to make sure that we do a search to at least not statewide, maybe by county area.
Okay. So, and I guess that could be another thought to just come to mind. If we stay with that limited search, then how would we develop interview questions, and how would we set times for interviews, and who meets with the board to say what they want, and those types of things?
That a limited local search doesn't necessarily limit you, and that's a good thing, because once you put it out there, there's going to be interest from all sides. But your intent for a local, more community-type search, while noble, it's also going to invite others. Again, that's never a bad thing. Even in conducting a local search, you need to be prepared to provide somebody the directorship, the leadership to do that, whether it's a Mr. Teagarden, who's conducted searches before, or some other person within the community that ultimately would help shape the process and provide guidance along the way. Unless, of course, you ultimately would assign that to somebody within the district, and that's a possibility as well. But given the neutrality of it all, that probably would be the best approach once the posting has been made, is to make contact with someone that ultimately would be willing to spearhead, maybe Dr. Davelis, maybe somebody else that has some experience with a higher level type search that might accommodate through time or through donation of time, through the service of that individual in order to meet the needs of our district.
So it would be only from a donation standpoint, we couldn't hire that person?
No, absolutely. There could be a compensation to be determined, some form of remuneration. But certainly there should be someone who has a standpoint of neutrality to the process, in all fairness.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Romero mentioned Mr. Teagarden. He has been involved in 4 searches, the Plumas Lake, the Wheatland Elementary, Wheatland High School, Yuba County Office of Ed, and I think he did a couple of those, did not charge them. He's also president of the board. He's a former employee of this district and very well respected, and he does well in these searches. I've talked to some of the districts he's gone through, and he's done a great job. Mr. Teagarden is good at doing this, and he really vets it, and he makes sure that everybody gets what they want to see in the next superintendent. And that's what we need, somebody that's going to conduct the search that understands what the needs of our community are. And so that was a good point when you brought Mr. Teagarden, because I know he's been conducting successful superintendent searches.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Or
the only comment I had is to give the board some time to digest how we move forward and to agendize this topic for next week. I think as wide a search as feasible is appropriate. And so I'm much more leaning to it, the 3 county versus just in-house. There's a lot of good people out there looking for an opportunity to prove themselves and have some very good training and experience with leading a district that really needs to boost its scholastic achievement, not just have a few hot spots where it's going great. We need all the campuses to be leaders in scholastic achievement as well as citizenship. So that would be my suggestion to the board.
So it looks as though Dr. Starkey, go ahead.
I was just going to ask for point of clarification to make sure that I get this on the agenda correctly. You are at this point in time, willing to make that decision on Tuesday? Shall I put it as a motion item on the agenda, or would you like to discuss it further?
Is there any objection for not being able to make that motion?
To me, as a motion item, it would depend on what the agendized item reads, how it reads.
Well, it would be seeking the board's decision on how to move forward with the superintendent search. Okay, at that point, the motion that a board member would make would be the one that hopefully you all will agree on. If not, as you know, there could be multiple motions until you get a majority.
Okay, yeah. So it'll look as if it's a discussion item, but the way that the motions are made, and then we need to come up with at least four for one in particular.
Yes. So it will just be a general item stating superintendent search, and that it would be a motion item, and then one of you will make a motion, and hopefully you'll get three others to agree with you, and then you have your majority. And that will be then giving us the direction about which search to pursue.
Any other discussion? We're good with that? Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.